Good morning. I'm going to read from Psalm 18, starting to read in verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy was around him and was dark waters, thick rain clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe. Hallelujah. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath of your nostrils. He sent from above and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. This is David writing, the King David writing in the Psalms, after God had delivered him from Saul and delivered him from all of his enemies. And this is about 1000 BC. And we see this is his explanation of God delivering him. This is how he saw it happening. And now if you jump with me, let's go 500 years into the future and we get to Isaiah. In Isaiah 64, in verse 1, Israel is not in a good place at this time. And Isaiah cries out from his heart. He says, oh, that you would rend the heavens, O God. That you would rend the heavens and come down, is what he says. I like one translation. It says, oh God, if only you would rend the heavens and come down to us. And so we see that sometimes we just cry. We say, God, if only you would do for us. This is what he's saying. If only you would do for me what you did for David. If you would come down today and just show up and rescue me from my situation. Show up and rescue me from my problems. Now, keeping that in mind, we're going to jump into what Duncan read this morning. We're going all the way forward to the New Testament, to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, we started last week, and that's when it's Resurrection Sunday. So we've had Good Friday, which is the crucifixion by the time we get to John 20. By this time, we see that God has indeed rent the heavens. He has rent the heavens, and he has come down, and he has lived among men. God himself has taken the form of a servant, of a human, and he's lived among people. By the time we get to this place, Jesus is now being crucified. And in this, John 20 is just the resurrection. It's the morning of the resurrection and the days following. 1 John tells us that for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, is to destroy the works of the devil. So for 3 years, he has gone around and he has destroyed the works of the enemy. He has annihilated the works of the enemy. He has raised the dead. He has cleansed the lepers. He has healed the sick. And he's basically been working with Jewish people. And so his disciples in the setting are Jewish people. For them, the world changed because the Messiah came. The Messiah came. God came to earth. For 3 years, they followed him. And for 3 years, he was untouchable. Every time they wanted to throw him off a cliff, what would he do? Jesus would turn around and walk through them. If they wanted to stone him, he just disappeared. He just turned away, disappeared. They couldn't stone him. For 3 years, they've known that this is the Messiah. This is the answer. This is God himself that has come to save them. In the beginning of John 20, now this is Resurrection Day, so they have had the weekend of the crucifixion, and they are all traumatized because something went wrong. For 3 years beforehand, every time the Messiah was going to be killed, he just disappeared. Every time the devil showed up, he would whip the devil. But now what happens is on Good Friday, a couple of days earlier, everything goes wrong because they get him and they take him off and they beat him and they kill him. And so these disciples, they've seen their friend be taken off and be beaten and be killed. How do you process God dying? I don't know how to process it. How would you deal watching God die? They hit the morning of resurrection and they fully traumatized all his disciples, as we can see as we go through this passage in their behavior. And most of them don't believe. And so we see in John chapter 20, the first person Jesus appears to is Mary. So Mary comes and tells the disciples, she says, "I've seen Jesus, he's alive again." Now the disciples are all in trauma. The last they saw was Jesus was crucified. Worse than that, they all forsook him, they ran away. Nobody was left. Peter even denied him. They're dealing with all of this. And then Mary comes along and says, "Well, Jesus has risen from the dead." They, being Jewish at this point, they don't understand the gospel of the death and the resurrection. The Bible tells us they hadn't put it all together at this time. For them, this was the Messiah. The Messiah had come, and now something had happened. The shepherd had been struck. The sheep are lost. What has happened? This was not part of their plan. Now Mary comes and says, "Well, I've seen Jesus. He's alive." And nobody believes her. Kind of surprised. If we were there, be like, "Hey, John, you know this. She says she saw Jesus." The other disciple would be like, "Yeah, but like, if he did come alive, why did he go to her? I mean, she's a woman. And come on, it's olden days and it's Jewish religion, and specifically in religious settings, the women were not permitted to do things that men were. So why would Jesus appear to a woman? Surely he'd follow the hierarchy. I mean, there's the three of us. There's Peter, there's James and John. We're the close ones. Where was this lady during the transfiguration? She wasn't there. She didn't walk on the water. She's a little sketchy at best. She's got a bad history. Her past is the worst for sure. She's slightly emotional. I mean, she goes and washes his feet with her hair. I mean, come on. And then uses a perfume that could have fed us for a year. It wasn't $5 worth of perfume. She's always in tears. So why would he appear to her? So they don't believe. But then Jesus shows up and he starts appearing to them individually. And so when Duncan read this morning, Jesus is actually with the disciples. He's shown up with the disciples, but poor Thomas, he's at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he misses all the fun. Thomas gets back into the meeting where all the disciples are. He comes in, and he's late to this whole thing. They say to him, they say, "Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. He has risen from the dead." But now Thomas is traumatized, right? He's been through what they've been through. Thomas is like a lot of us. He's like, "Listen, I've grieved already that he's died. I don't want to grieve again if you're lying to me. I mean, maybe you didn't see him. I've processed this and I'm struggling already now. I don't want to get all excited and have to grieve again. Come on. I don't want to believe against all hope. I don't want to believe and trust and then be let down." The other thing is, maybe he just wants God to rend the heavens for him. You know, as we go through all of this, and as I look at the Psalms and see what David went through and how God rescues him, and then jumping forward to Isaiah and realizing that all he wanted, he's like, "God, just rend the heavens and come down, just come down." There's something inside of all of us that we want God to show up for us. Just rend the heavens for me. I don't want to hear it via somebody else. Don't rend the heavens for my friend. I don't want to hear from this person. I want to see you. I want you to rend the heavens for me. That's our cry. Will you do it for me? I know you'll heal this person, but will you heal me? I know you'll touch that person, but will you touch me? And so maybe Thomas is actually thinking, show up for me. I don't want to believe what somebody else has said. Am I worth enough that you'll part the heavens for me? Do I have enough value? Have I done enough? I understand grace. I understand mercy, I understand grace, but sometimes we just think, have I done enough? Am I good enough? Would you show up for me? And I think these are the things that maybe he's going through, and he's in doubt and he's in unbelief. Am I worthy for you to show up and for you to rend the heavens? That's the question. I'm going to read from John 20, verse 19, as what Duncan had read. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled For fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, then they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, then they are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said, "Unless I touch his hands and touch his side, I'm not going to believe." 8 days later, the disciples are gathered again and Jesus shows up. And this is just amazing. It says in verse 26, "And Jesus stood in the midst of them and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas," "Here, Thomas, I'll meet you where you are. I'll show up for you, Thomas. Even in your doubt, even in your fear, even in your not wanting to risk it, even in your practical mindset and the fact that you always need to see before you believe. I'll show up and find you where you are, because that's as how much I love you and I care for you. And so come on and feel my hands and feel my side." And so he does that and he lets him touch him. Thomas then obviously, and by now he's not believing anymore because it's fact, he's actually seeing him. And he says, "My Lord and my God." Jesus says, "Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." And that's most of us. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And so we see that Jesus shows up and he speaks some harsh words to him where he challenges him and says, you know, get out of doubting and unbelief. Jesus parts the heavens. Jesus arrives and shows up for Thomas, even in the midst of his doubt and the midst of his unbelief. The questions we have are valid questions. Am I enough for God to show up? Am I enough for God to come and find me? Am I enough for that? And the answer is yes, you are. You do have enough value for God to show up. He will rend the heavens for you. And then, does he really love me? You ask, does he really love me? Neil, does he love me enough to rend the heavens? Does he love me enough to come off his throne and find me where I am? I know people have said it, and I know the Bible says it, but does he love me enough to come down and find me in my place? Does he love me enough for that, Neil? And I say to you, he does. He loves you enough. And then your last question might be, have I done enough? We don't believe that we're saved by works. We know we're saved by grace. But the question is always, have I done enough works? Am I a good enough person? We know that we're saved by grace. We know that works has nothing to do with us getting to heaven. But somehow, when we're alone by ourselves, that thought still plagues us. Did I go to church enough? Did I pray enough? I can't pray for this because I haven't read the Bible enough. All these things plague us. And so the question is, have I done enough? Do I deserve for him to rend the heavens and show up for me? And the answer is no. You more than likely haven't done enough. And you probably don't deserve him to rend the heavens and show up for you. But he'll do it anyway. Amen.